as we prepare to hear God's word, let's spend a moment in prayer. Lord God, we want to be mindful of giving you this time, surrendering our heart and our will, our minds before you. Help us to submit before your words, Lord God. Put aside all the distractions which would keep us from hearing you. God, we pray together that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I want to begin today with a question that you might consider. And that question is, do you ever get discouraged? Yeah, we do. I do. A week ago, I was feeling quite discouraged, to be honest with you. It was one of those times when I call it that life catches up with you. Have you lived that kind of moment? Like the stress, the anxiety, the fears, the anxiousness, the nerves. And you just feel down. Maybe you can't even identify what it is that's going on internally and inside you, but you wake up discouraged, you go to bed discouraged, you work discouraged. And when times like that happen to me, I have a few go-to people. And one of those, beyond my wife Jeanette, is my twin brother Mike. Maybe that's because he understands me like nobody else understands me on this planet. So I called him and I said, "This is how I'm feeling." I shared with him my discouragement. He listened and then he prayed with and for me. And a few hours later, he sent me a text. Now, Gene and Mark can see that and Charles can see that. And the text was the New Testament passage from Hebrews that was read today. "See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first." Then he has the passage address, Hebrews 3, verses 12 through 14. Part of preaching the lectionary means that those texts are picked years in advance, not by me, but by a committee who puts together the 3 years that we use. My brother he's very smart, unlike me. I think he got the brains of the two of us. But he is no biblical scholar. His PhD was done at Arizona State in curriculum and instruction in the area of kinesiology. But he had God's wisdom in this day. The end of the text, he gives me 3 encouraging promises. First, he says, "Steve, believe God's promises for you." Then he says, "Reject the devil's lies." And third, he says, "Claim the truth." And guess what? As I read and prepared to preach this text, those were the 3 encouragements that the author gives to us today. So though I would like to take credit for this sermon, I cannot. But believe that it was prepared for me by God and spoken through my brother. So what's here then? If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 3. The text is also there in front of you. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 1 for a moment too, so I would encourage you to take out your Bibles if you'd like to follow along. But there are times in our lives where we innately, because of a broken world, because of our sinfulness, maybe because of the effort of the devil and the deceitfulness and his lies, there are times we are just discouraged. And in this text, we are reminded that we are to encourage one another and that we are to be encouraged immediately and regularly to Christian living. Our author begins by saying to us that we are to be encouraged daily and today. Daily means that we are to be encouraged on a regular basis. There has to be some regularity. There ought not be a day that goes by that we don't hear from and or we don't give ourselves to others encouragement. And today means we can't wait. Today means that immediately we must hear the encouragement of God from another and we must encourage each other. And it's person to person in the body of Christ. It's not pastor to congregant. It's person to person, follower to follower, disciple to disciple. And our encouragement goes this way. First, we are encouraged in verse 12, "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God." The encouragement we give, the encouragement we receive, is the encouragement to remain in the living God. And that's what my brother encouraged me to do. Believe, he said. Don't have unbelief, but believe in God. That means have faith. Because unbelief is sin. Unbelief turns us away from the living God. Unbelief turns us away from the life of faith or the life of belief. When we don't have faith, when we're not believing that God is bigger, stronger, more powerful than the evil one who oppresses or seeks to oppress us, then we fall into that which is sin. Unbelief tells God, "I don't believe and trust you here and now. I may have some kind of intellectual understanding, but when we cross that road, when we step over that line from belief to unbelief, we're telling God, well, it may be that you are faithful and it may be that you are trustworthy, but I'm not going to live it today." And the reminder here is we can't let each other fall into that place away from the living God and belief therein. We must be encouraged and we must encourage one another to remain in the living God and keep our hearts turned toward Him. No matter what. There's a lot that we can encourage each other with over the years and in the days. But the writer here of Hebrews says, let's stick to that which is important. Encourage each other to remain in the living God. Number two, my brother said, his words were, reject the devil. He read and saw in this passage that the devil is the one who hardens us by sin's deceitfulness. Look at verse 13, the end of the verse there. We're to encourage one another so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness, by the half-truths, by the outright lies. We're to encourage one another to rebuke sin's deceitfulness. Since unbelief is sin, we must rebuke it. And I believe on my behalf, that's what not only was my brother encouraging me to do, was to reject the devil, but that was also his prayer for me, that I would have belief in the living God. Reject the devil's lies, he said. In my discouragement, in my unbelief, in my sin, I was being deceived and allowed myself to believe the lies. Here are some of the lies I was beginning to believe that led to my discouragement. Perhaps you hear these lies too. Lies like, I'm not good enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not doing enough. I'm not pleasing enough. Do you ever hear those lies in your head? By the way, that is where our spiritual battle is fought. It's in our minds. The devil has the one weapon that's fashioned against us that is the most powerful, and that is lies and deceit that comes in our minds and in our thoughts. And those thoughts were not of God. That's not what the Bible says about me. That's not what God says about me. God does not say, I'm not good enough, or I'm not strong enough, or I'm not doing enough, I'm not pleasing enough. But what does God say about not only me, but about you? What is the truth? The truth is this. God says, I love you the way you are. God says, I accept you in spite of what you do. God says, I call you my child, and I am your father, and you have my inheritance. That's what God says. God says, I died for you. While you were still a sinner, I died for you. Don't believe the lies of the evil one. Believe the promises of God. And we are, and we must be encouraged and must encourage one another to rebuke sin's deceitfulness and believe in God's promises. Put aside the lies of Satan. And number three, we are to encourage one another to hold our original conviction firmly. My brother put it this way, that I was to claim the truth. And what is that truth? What is our original conviction? Well, let's go to Hebrews 1. Turn with me, those of you who have your Bibles, to Hebrews 1 and verse 1. This is one of the earliest creedal statements in the church, Hebrews 1 through 4. A creedal statement is a creed of what we believe. You're going to hear in these verses a lot of the language that was later included in the Nicene and Apostles' Creed. This is the truth of our Lord. This was our original conviction. In the past, says the writer of Hebrews, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom also He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. After He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So He became as much superior to the angels as the name He has inherited is superior to theirs. That's a belief statement. This is what we believe. This is our original conviction. This is our foundation of life. This is where truth spawns from. It is the person and the work of Jesus Christ. We know here that the author is talking about Jesus, don't we? Clearly. And so, verse 14, we have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. We must be encouraged, and we must encourage one another to hold our original conviction firmly, believing in Jesus Christ as the living God. And then why, you may ask, is this important? The author in verse 16 gives flesh to this question. He quotes from Psalm 75, verses 7 and 8. As has just been said, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. You see, there's that propensity in human nature, in the way we are created in original or universal sin, for us to harden our hearts against God. There's that natural enmity between us and God called sin. And so he's reminding the people in the first century about the Israelites who lived thousands of years before. They were heard, who were they, asked the author, who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? This is Israel. And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies perished in the wilderness? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their, you following along? Unbelief. This is a reminder to us. You see, Israel's history is also our history. We have been grafted in, says the Bible, to the history of Israel. This is a reminder that there were those who, like us, did not believe in God's promises, who were held in the desert for 40 years. A whole generation passed before they were able to enter God's rest. And in that day and age, God's rest was Canaan, the promised land. But isn't this what every human person is looking for? God's rest, God's tranquility, God's blessing? I believe that is what we are looking for. And so do we hear the promise to us today? Not only are we exhorted to encourage one another regularly, day by day by day by day, and immediately today, don't wait, now is the time. We're exhorted to encourage one another to remain in the living God, to rebuke sin's deceitfulness, and to hold our original conviction firmly. And then do you hear the promise? Not only an exhortation, but a promise. Here it is. If we are encouraged and encourage one another today and daily, we will find God's rest, his tranquility, his peace, his joy, his blessing. So, Christian friends, encourage one another. Amen. Please stand now as we worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through song.